Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, we tend to see some of these folks when they're at the bottom of the ramp, when you're coming off the highway. Sometimes you see them walking around the mall. Sometimes you see them downtown. If you live anywhere near a city area, an urban area, you'll see some homeless folks walking around. And oftentimes, we don't give it a whole lot of thought. I drive by more than I think about it. And, you know, you kind of assume the worst. And you're like, well, if I give them any cash, they're going to spend it on this, that, or the other thing. Many of us will talk about, especially in Sunday school, we'll talk about, well, what should you do when you see a homeless person? Well, you should stop and get to know them and share the gospel with them. And we talk about that. But very few people, I could probably count them on both hands, that I know that I've actually stopped and engaged a homeless person and to find out what their story is and what's their background and how did they end up there and how can you actually be of help. There's a great book that came out several years ago called When Helping Hurts. And the easiest thing is usually just to throw money at it, but it's not always the best thing. And if you're going to get in to disciple somebody and try to care for them and walk with them, that's kind of ugly and it takes time. And one of the organizations around the country, whether you live here in Raleigh, North Carolina or not, rescue missions are all over the place. Here in Raleigh, we have one that most people around here, especially believers and church folks, know all about, the Raleigh Rescue Mission. It's been around for years, but we're actually live on site down there today. And for some reason, just because we're at this big conference table, John Luckett, who is John and I have met each other. How long ago did we meet? Was it about a year ago or
About a year ago, yeah.
And what's your title here?
I'm the CEO.
The CEO by way of Atlanta.
That's right.
And we're sitting at this big conference table, so it feels like we're about 300 feet apart. Although we're not. So on Facebook Live, it looks kind of odd.
Okay.
John and I are actually brothers in Christ. We're friends. We're not sitting this far apart for any other reason than it's just the way the setup is. But it's great to have you on here. Thanks for inviting me down. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you down. This is great.
So we'll find all about Raleigh Rescue Mission. We'll kind of the history of the mission and your history and how you ended up here. But let's start about with just generally, and we're going to dive down into this, and we're actually going to talk to two of the clients that are here at the Rescue Mission. We're going to talk to Jason O'Brien first, who's been here for between 3 and 4 months, and you'll hear his story, where he's come from, what's going on here, how did he end up in a rescue mission, and kind of what are his plans. And then Ebony Randolph, who just recently, I'm like a week ago yesterday, just got a job. She's on one of the more advanced phases here at the program at the Raleigh Rescue Mission. So you're going to hear from Ebony and from Jason later, but we'll spend some time talking to John now. So give us just a little bit of the history of the Raleigh Rescue Mission, then we'll talk about how you ended up here.
Well, great. Well, we've been around 58 years, just celebrated on November 1st, 58th year. We started out here at this same location, 314 East Harget. It was a house, and they accepted two men in 1961.
Mm. Wow.
A lot easier in 1961 to get people jobs. You didn't even know how to read. You didn't have to do anything, but basically be willing to work, and you could find a job. It's changed a lot in 58 years.
Certainly has.
Yeah, so this is a we now have about 110 people. Most of them are women and children, which that's the growing population of homelessness. So it's a little bit different than
50 years ago. And we're kind of right near the heart of downtown.
Yes, right near Moore Square.
Which has changed a lot, because this part of downtown was kind of known for the homeless population. Moore Square, which they completely just redid. Downtown Raleigh, if you've never been here, has gone through a major kind of upgrade facelift in the last 10 or 12 years. And whereas on weeknights and even the weekends, nobody was down here after 5 o'clock, just working people. But now it's just kind of alive all the time. Tons of young people down here now. But this is an area where there's all kinds of poverty still, even though the city has expanded a lot and grown a lot. But homelessness is a big problem here, as it is around the country.
That's true. Well, I live downtown, 5 blocks from the mission. So we love to walk around downtown. And I just moved here 2.5 years ago, so I don't know the history like you do. But I hear that this area, like you said, was not the place that people wanted to move to several years ago.
Yeah.
But we love it. It's a lot of opportunity, a lot of great things going on. So
Now, how bad is homelessness, not just here in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area, specifically Raleigh, but nationwide? I know this is, we talk about California, yeah. We talk about L.A., we talk about San Francisco, and everybody kind of rolls their eyes. And, of course, that's where you're going to have a bad homelessness problem because you've got liberal policies out there, which we're not talking about politics today. But this is a nationwide problem.
Yes, it is. Conservative numbers, there's 500,000 people that are homeless. That number could easily be double. Because a lot of times it talks about unsheltered as opposed to individuals who are couch surfers, the individuals who move from home to home with other friends, live in hotels, and also live in their cars. So I tell people that it's hard to count the number of homeless individuals because just think about it. You think we could get all the homeless people in Wake County to show up at PNC Arena and have them count it? Doesn't work that way. So you really have to figure out the different places where individuals need assistance, and that's kind of one of the ways we count them.
And is there a way to typecast people that end up at the Raleigh Rescue Mission? It seems like the stories
not
are buried.
Really. Yeah, it's extreme differences. I can tell you that. We've got people who had great jobs before, and then they had issues that happened in their life. Some of the things that people don't know about are what happens when you have a health crisis and you don't have insurance, and then you lose your job, and then you have a ton of bills to pay. What happens with the death of a spouse? What happens with the death of a parent if you're younger or a college-age person? All these situations. And then one thing that we see a lot of is the adverse childhood experiences that have crippled people for a long time. So there's a lot of hidden issues that people do not know about. We do not see substance abuse as a big issue because we know one thing is for true, that multi-trillion-dollar industry is not driven by homeless people. You need money. You need money to buy drugs.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What a powerful point. Yeah, and oftentimes I think we kind of think that generally, well, everybody's got a drug problem, so they end up homeless, and that's how they go to a place like the Raleigh Rescue Mission, but that's just not true.
That's not true. Yeah, we have people from all walks of life that just basically don't have a safety net of individuals to help them. And so we saw a little bit of that in 2006 to 2009 when individuals lost their jobs.
Oh, man.
They were able to move back in with their family. But guess what? What if they didn't have a family to move back in with? What would happen to them? They would have been homeless.
Yeah, because most of us, I mean, certainly myself and my wife and our family, if everything hit the skids and I lost all my sources of income, yada, 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 we have all kinds of family. We have all kinds of friends. We think that's normal. But there's a whole lot of people in this country that do not have that as an option.
Exactly, exactly.
There is no safety net. So we'll talk to two people, Ebony Randolph and Jason O'Brien, who are here. They're clients at the Raleigh Rescue Mission. But we'll hit the break in about a minute and a half. But how did you end up here? Because you definitely are not homeless.
Well, that's right. It's a long story. I will tell you that this was not my goal in life to run a homeless
guy might have had a different plan in mind. We're talking to John Luckett. We're down here at the Raleigh Rescue Mission. He's the CEO. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. More about this incredibly important work that the Lord is doing here in Raleigh, and not just Raleigh, but around the country. And then we'll hear from a couple of the clients here as well. We'll be right back after this. Noble, it's the Steve Noble Show. We're live from the Raleigh Rescue Mission today, downtown Raleigh. It's just an incredible organization. It's been here over five decades, and God just continues to do miraculous things here. And a lot of rescue missions, the ones that I've been around for the last 10 or 15 years, they're doing great work. They don't always innovate. They don't always kind of look at kind of modernization, if you want to use that word. But one of the things that's gone on here since John Luckett, the CEO, has come on board is this whole new track in terms of let's not just give people a meal and some place safe and help them get a job. Let's help them get the kind of job and get the kind of work training that they can actually sustain themselves. They can actually get into an apartment, eventually buy a home. Yeah. It's called a new life plan, which is really exciting. And we're going to learn more about that. And then we're also going to talk to two of the clients here, Jason O'Brien, who's been here for about 3 to 4 months. And then Ebony Randolph, who's pretty far down the road and just got a brand new job. She's a CNA. She just started a week ago yesterday. So we're going to hear from them, some awesome stories, and just hear it right from the people that are going through the program. But we're spending some time with John right now. And so you were saying before the clock so rudely interrupted us about how you kind of ended up here because you didn't really see this one.
Yeah,
on the
it wasn't a plan. So I grew up in poverty in Mississippi, and people that don't know about poverty, if you grow up in poverty, your goal is to get out and never, ever get back in. So I ran as fast as I could, and that meant I went to college. I did all the things I needed to do. I work for a small company called Chick-fil-A. I was a Wendy's franchisee. I worked in the senior living industry. And all this was made possible, as I look back, because people chose to intervene in my life. And so my youngest daughter was almost out of college, and my wife and I looked at us and said, hey, what do we need to be doing? Compared to where we started, man, we're living a great life.
Oh, man, yep.
And so what do we need to do? And then God tapped me on the shoulder and said, I want you to go back and do what I did for you. And this took me back to a very critical point in 1965. I grew up in a little town called Carthage. Where nothing special about it, but it's 30 miles from Philadelphia, Mississippi, where the three civil rights freedom riders were killed, two white, one black. So what happened at that time in my life, there was a white family, privileged family, that stepped into our life and gave my dad protection and my family and gave him a job.
Wow.
That made all the difference in the world, because many families were fleeing the state, going to places that didn't always turn out well. And the fact that we were able to be stable enabled me to stay there. My parents were illiterate. They could not teach me to read, write, and do arithmetic. So the teachers that I had, even in a segregated environment, was able to help me. And when it became integrated, those individuals helped me too. Now, I'm not naive in a small town. Everybody knows when a privileged family is helping you.
Sure.
So I'm sure I had the favor of a lot of people in that town because of that. But that act of kindness and love made the difference in the whole world. So when I think about what I'm doing, it goes back to that moment in time in history and saying, you know what? And it didn't stop there. Other people continue to intervene in my life. So the power is, what would happen if you or I intervene in another person's life? What kind of difference would we make? We kind of know about that. This is in the gospel talk about Jesus. Yeah. We know what can happen.
That's
but
exactly right.
Real life human beings doing it, is really what made a difference.
Well, that, as you were sharing that reminds me of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, which talks about caring for others with the care that we've received from the Lord ourselves.
Yes.
So, you know, some people will say pay it forward, whatever phrase you want to use. This is just a biblical way of life. And, of course, Raleigh Rescue Mission, it's faith-based. But to turn around and then especially when you've had a season of bounty and plenty, had a very successful career, to have that opportunity to dive into a place like the Raleigh Rescue Mission and really do that on a full-time basis has got to be a pretty awesome season to be in.
It is. I mean, I tell you, this is the most exciting job I've had ever, and I kid you not, I get a front-row seat to seeing God change people's lives.
That is
cool. This is like Acts, man, all over again.
All over again.
But it's real, and it's happening.
That's so cool.
2019.
Well, you've got, for our friends on Facebook, they see a TV screen in the background because we're here in the conference room at the Raleigh Rescue Mission. And just in case, and just because I said there's a conference room at the Raleigh Rescue Mission, don't think we're sitting at corporate Chick-fil-A headquarters
no,
in Atlanta.
No,
it's fine, but it's not like it's posh. So there's a big screen behind us, though, and we're looking at something that has been going on here at the Raleigh Rescue Mission, the new life plan, which has six different phases. So tell us about that, and then we're going to talk to Jason and Ebony here in a little bit.
Great.
And hear where they fit in here at the Raleigh Rescue Mission.
Well, a lot of credit goes to our board. When I came on board 2.5 years ago, they said, hey, we want to be impactful for what's happening now in the homeless community. So we took some time to research this. So we actually launched this a year ago, September 2018. So I'm going to summarize these six steps in three phrases. Rescue is phase one and two. Restore is phase three and four. And reentry is phase five and six. Because we are committed to helping our brothers and sisters get back in the mainstream of society. Because the majority of people that we assist are situational homeless.
Yeah.
They're not individuals that are considered chronic homeless, which chronic homeless individuals exist, but that's a small percentage. Individuals who are mentally or physically challenged that cannot work. The majority of people, 70 to 80% of the people, are like you and I that had some very serious things happen.
70 to 80%?
Yes.
I had no idea it was that high.
Serious things happened. They didn't have a safety net, and they went down, and they kept going down, and no one came alongside them to help them. So that's who we focus on, and we're excited about the great results that God is doing in the individual's lives.
So take us through these six phases real quick and what happens in each one. And then when we talk to Jason, he's early on. He's phase two, getting ready to go to phase three.
Yeah.
Ebony's four, getting ready to go to five.
Well, phase one is one of the most important phases. It's called an assessment phase. We do educational assessment, medical, and mental. The reason we do that is that many people think that all homeless people are alike. That would be like saying that, hey, I saw you, all white people are like, all black people are like. Well, that's not correct, right? Or everybody that went to XYZ University is like.
Right.
So this assessment phase is critical if we're going to help individuals. So most of our clients have various needs, and so this helps us assess what their need is. One fact I will tell you that's a misnomer, everyone that is poor does not have access to Medicaid. So if you're a single man or single woman, you don't have access to Medicaid.
Yeah. Wow.
So phase two is where we focus in on counseling. 100% of our people get assessed, and most of them need counseling because of some things in their past.
Sure.
Tutoring, primarily for the children, because we are two-generational approach here. So that is key to helping them break the cycle. But also, it is critical for the parents to get a GED, and so we work with them. Phase three is really what we're known for. People come here because they know we can help them get a livable wage job. And
wow.
That's between $12 to $15 an hour.
Wow.
We want to get 15. It's like the bare minimum. But
sure.
Based on what we got to work with, we're at 12 to 15. We work with Jobs for Life. We collaborate. We work with Wake Tech Community College. And we also work with employers. Phase four is where after they employ, they begin to get involved in purchasing their own car. We assist them with that. They get counseling from a professor at NC State on their savings plan.
That's awesome.
And we help with credit repair. Your credit score really drives everything you do, so we help them with that. And then one through four is when they're with us, and five and six is when they leave. Apartment in phase five, and then our goal is to get them in long-term housing, which is Habitat for Humanity, another partner, or also work with some of the banks that will do 100% financing for people that employ. This is totally different than 2006 and 2009. They've got some better guidelines.
Yeah,
so these individuals are put in the right house and the right things.
Like so that. Exciting. Well, it's kind of from a gospel perspective, it's kind of the difference between making a convert and making disciples.
Yes.
A convert you can do in a passing conversation. A disciple takes some time and it can be kind of ugly, but you end up having people that go disciple other people. In this case, that's exactly what's happening here at the Raleigh Rescue Mission. When we come back, you're going to meet Jason O'Brien and then Ebony Randolph. They're both clients here at the Mission. We're also talking to John Luckett. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough, stay away from Jesus.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, live from the Raleigh Rescue Mission in downtown Raleigh, North Carolina. By the way, the website, you need to check that out, and we're going to give you some homework and some assignments before we finish the show today. RaleighRescue.org. Is the website. By the way, it is Giving Tuesday, so this is offer number 427 that you probably received today to give to a not-for-profit. But as I always say, as soon as we talk about something on the air and you hear it, and if God is moving in your spirit and this is just touching your heart, with knowledge becomes responsibility. So if you want to get involved in this, something, that, look, the very least we should be doing is praying about the homelessness situation. And for people that find themselves in situational homelessness, which is 70 to 80%, as John was helping us understand earlier, we need to at least be in prayer. But I've served at Raleigh Rescue Mission before and come and cooked breakfast with other guys on Saturday mornings. And it's just awesome to be a part of it. And we're called. That's one of our primary things, other than sharing the gospel, is to help people that are in tough situations, widows and orphans, and people that are in a tough gig and have a situational homeless problem, and to get involved will really take your Christianity to another level. It's great to go to church. It's great to go to Bible study. It's great to memorize scripture. But if you're all say and no do, you're missing out on a lot of what God has for you. So especially if you're here in the Triangle area, especially in Raleigh, RaleighRescue.org, and we'll talk about some other ways that you can get involved as we get towards the end of the show. But right now we've got Jason O'Brien who's joined us. He's been at the at the Rescue Mission as a client for about 3 or 4 months now. Jason, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. So we'll kind of do your story. I hate to be abbreviated. That's just the realities of the clock. But anyway, tell us kind of where you grew up and how you ended up in a place like Raleigh Rescue Mission.
Well, I'm originally from Raleigh, grew up here. I actually worked for Raleigh Police Department for a while. And I didn't really start running into trouble in my life until probably about 5 or 6 years ago when I was about 33, 34 years old. Had a chronic back problem, ended up getting hooked on some pills, and next thing you know, it all went downhill from there, and, you know, did some time in prison and, you know, in and out, and it was finally time to find a program where I could actually, you know, improve my life and improve my home situation and do something that I can finally get back to being proud of. My family can get, you know, be proud of me for actually completing something. So that's where I'm at. So that's why I chose here.
And we're all, of course, familiar with the opioid crisis and everything that happens there, which can be brutal. I've actually had another law enforcement member on the show. This was about 2 years ago now. That same, he got injured on the job and then had surgery. And then the opioids thing just came out of nowhere, wasn't looking for it. It's just a brutal reality, which I'm grateful that at least at the federal level, we're starting to see some movement by the government. But how hard was it to kind of come to the Raleigh Rescue Mission, become a client, and kind of take that step?
I mean, it was very hard. I mean, I went through the cycle once before where, you know, I got out of prison. I can actually do things on my own. And, you know, I figured, hey, you know what? I got this under control. I'm good. I'm sober. I'm clean. But as you start adding financial responsibilities, job, home life, things of that nature, you know, if you're not taking care of the problem that you actually have, it's just going to end up snowballing until it actually goes out of control. And, you know, so I wanted to actually take time and figure out what I could do here, work on my mental health, work on getting back right with God, taking the time to actually work on those things rather than just being thrown back into everyday life as far as going to work, paying bills, and doing all that stuff. So it gave me time to actually sit back and do that, and that's what I'm accomplishing here.
Yeah, so what do you think's making the difference this time as being a part of Raleigh Rescue Mission and going through, as we were looking on the screen earlier, the new life plan?
A stable support system. I think that's probably the best thing. I mean, everybody can go out and, you know, go to work and do things, but, you know, sometimes family is not the most stable thing. So coming to a place like this where you have the mental health aspect and you have counselors, you have people here like Mr. Luckett and some of the other people here in place actually do care about you, and they'll sit down and talk to you, and, you know, they have your best interest at heart. Rather, sometimes family members they'll give in and they'll enable and they'll do certain things to where it's not really helping. It's just a setback. So here you take those distractions out of the way and you can actually focus on things.
Yeah, it's such an important point. So where would you describe that you're at right now in the process?
Right now, I've been sober for about 21 months, so I'm pretty good on that aspect, which is always working.
Yeah, praise God.
It's always a progress. But, you know, right now I'm in a good place. You know, I've reconciled my relationships, and I don't think I could have done that if I wouldn't have come here. If I would have tried to do something else, more of, you know, without a God-focused program or something like that, it probably would have been a lot more difficult and maybe not even happen. But since I've come here, a lot of good stuff. Reconciled with my dad, my mom, my ex, you know, my daughter's back in my life. So, I mean, a lot of good stuff has happened.
Yeah, that's incredible. So, John, I mean, like, what phases?
This is phase two. He's
Jason's
heading
in
into phase three.
Heading into phase three.
Phase one and two are so critical to stabilize an individual, because he's correct. A lot of times we try to rush back into things and we had to deal with what the root issues are.
Yeah.
Phase three, what he's going into, is getting him ready to get back into the workforce. But we continue to support individuals all the way through all the six phases, because we know that we need stable support systems in all of our lives. That whether you're here at the Raleigh Rescue Mission and you're out in the community.
Yeah.
You need that type of support.
Well, that's such an important point that you made, Jason, that you actually need to – I think our initial reaction is, you know, get back home to family. But family can't be dispassionate.
Right. Absolutely.
And we can become enablers, thinking that we're loving you well or whoever.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We're actually enabling, and you kind of need that kind of – I wouldn't call it a desert, because obviously that's not what it is. But you know what I mean, to take you out of that context.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in regards to that, I mean – you know, I struggle with things, you know, should I be back at the home, paying the bills, helping my daughter, being there for her?
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll also look at things that I haven't really been there for the last 2 or 3 years. So what's the next 3 or 4 months of my life going to be when I can complete this program, work here, and get my life back on track? You know, you can't do stuff too fast. And that's what I've done before is try to jump right back in too quick, too fast.
Yeah, you just weren't ready.
Right.
Are you feeling hopeful?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you think that was possible? 6 months ago, a year ago?
You know, probably not. You know, I'm the type of person, the career that I've had, I block a lot of stuff out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always look at the best things. And, you know, my life, no matter how bad it is, there's always somebody out there worse than me. Mm-hmm. So that leaves me kind of hopeful on things. So, you know, I think I would have looked at stuff if my relationship hadn't been reconciled with my ex or my daughter. I still would have moved forward. But would I be as happy as I am now? Absolutely not.
Yeah. What about what have you been learning about God since you've been here? I have no idea what your faith journey is, if you have any beliefs or not. I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah. My dad's a seniors leader over at Richland Creek in Wake Forest. So, I mean, you know, it's always been present in my life. I got baptized when I was 14 years old on Super Bowl Sunday. So,
do you get extra points in heaven for that if you get baptized on Super Bowl Sunday?
I know, right? I think about that. But, you know, I grew up in a church. I used to ride my bike to church by myself. Nobody took me. My dad didn't take me. Mom didn't take me. I used to go every Wednesday, Sunday, go on every, you know, ski trip and anything I could. And I did that up until, you know, I got to college. And once I got to college, I kind of got out of going to church. So this has kind of brought me back around to what I used to do, you know, awesome. How I used to be.
Yeah. And that's kind of, I mean, the same exact thing happened to me as well. You go off to college and the last thing you want to do is what your parents wanted you to do and what you were doing in high school. But that's so good to hear that you have hope and you've reconciled. Those are some great things. And we just praise God for that. And thank you for sharing today. It's been great having you on.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. All right. Go out to see if Ebony's out there because we're going to get Ebony in here next. So, Jason, if you can look for Ebony, we'll get her in here when we have just got to go find her. She's out there somewhere. Yeah. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, buddy.
And so, I mean, that's an incredible story, John.
Well,
the hope that Jason has, and that's just part of the deal. I mean, that's just part of your work environment every day.
Well, one of the key things that I want to say about that, we do believe that every person is created in the image of God, has
absolutely.
Sacred value.
Yep.
But in addition to that, we also believe that God has a purpose for individuals' life. So from day one, they start talking about what is your purpose?
Yeah.
It's bigger than just getting a job.
No, that's
bigger than just getting the car, getting the house.
Yep.
We all know people who have multiple cars, houses, plenty of money in the bank, but they don't have a purpose.
They don't have a purpose.
To talk about.
There's a lot of people like that. Unfortunately, that's just the deal.
Yeah.
We've got Ebony in now. Ebony, we're going to put those on. Ebony's joining us here. Ebony Randolph, and she's got, we're going to bring the, you can help her out, John. You're getting there. Pretty good. You're in good shape. You're all right. Take the cord. I'll take care of it. See the cord? Just get the cord under. There you go. Perfect. All right. Okay. Ebony, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You're so soft-spoken. But that's all right. That's all right. We're good with that. Thanks for coming in today, and thanks for being a part of the show. We appreciate that.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So how did you end up here? Tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up at the Raleigh Rescue Mission.
Well, a friend of mine was at the mission, and she kept leaving and coming and leaving and coming back and leaving and coming back. And I'm telling her, you know, I think you should really stay. I was hearing a lot of things about the mission, and at the time I was going through a lot. I was struggling real bad, and I'm, you know, just asking God, like, oh my God, Lord, I need help. But at that time, like, you know, I was encouraging her, so I laid down for a nap, and then clear as day I heard God spoke to me, and he's like, you know, you're telling her what she needs to do. Why don't you go down there and get some help? And I'm like, you know what, you're right, you know, maybe I should. So that's how I got here. And since I've been here, my life has changed drastically. And I can definitely tell the change, because when I try to step out, like, and get around my family, you know, because before I got here, you know, I was involved in a certain circle. But every time, like, I would leave out, which I don't really go over there like that, I feel out of place.
Yeah.
I feel different.
Yeah.
My mindset is different. My way of thinking is different. My perspective is definitely a life-changing.
And you're a mom too, right?
I am a mom of three.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that when we come back. That little music in the background is just telling me we're coming up on a break. We're live at the Raleigh Rescue Mission. Ebony Randolph is here with me. We're going to keep talking to her about her story and what's going on now. Super exciting. She just started a brand new job a week ago yesterday, which is a huge praise. So we want to talk about that, and we'll continue to talk to John Luckett, who's the CEO here at Raleigh Rescue Mission. RaleighRescue.org is the website. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back after this. Show. We are live at the Raleigh Rescue Mission today, downtown Raleigh. It's been here for over 50 years now, just doing an incredible work with people that find themselves in very difficult situations. And homeless shelter, that's one of the phrases we tend to use, but I didn't know this, and John Luckett is here with me as well as the CEO, and we're getting to know Ebony Randolph, who's here, who just got a brand new job last week as a CNA, so we're praising God for that. But I didn't know, and John brought this up earlier, the 70 to 80% of the people that come here, it's situational homelessness. We tend to think, I know for me, as kind of a white suburbanite, I hear homelessness. I assume it's drugs and things like that. But there's people that didn't have medical insurance. They lost a job. They didn't have any savings. They don't have family that can take them in. A lot of things that you and I probably take for granted are just simply not there for a good number of our neighbors. And they need a specialized kind of help. They need people that can come alongside them and counsel them and go through training and to get them back up on their feet. And I just didn't know that 70-80% are situational homelessness. And Ebony is here sharing her story with us. And two of her kids are here, 2 years of age and 5 years of age. And so what's it been like to come here as a family to the Raleigh Rescue Mission?
It's been supportive. It's been very supportive. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Just everything they have to offer, like, you don't want for anything. You do not want for anything. And I try to encourage everybody to come. Every chance I get to tell somebody about this program, I try to put it out there.
Yeah.
I wish I would have knew about it when I first moved here from Connecticut. But, you know, I had to, you know, dig a little bit to find out on my own.
It takes time to figure out the way to go. So what have been some of the things in your time here? Because you've been here, what, about 6 months now?
Since July 19th.
Yeah. So what are some things that have made the biggest difference for you in terms of getting back on your feet? Now I want to talk to you about your job, which is super exciting. But what's really made the difference for you?
Well, first of all, it's very humbling. Like, I say it like this. I say, if you're not ready to change and ready for growth, then this is not the place for you, because it definitely helps you grow. You know, the vocational training, the devotions that we get every day. We have chapel, Homeless No More classes. It's just a lot of things. There's so much that they do for you, just to let you know that you're not alone and you're not going through it alone. Did I answer your question?
Yes, you did.
Okay. It's just a lot. It's a blessing. Like, it's truly a blessing. I was totally shocked when I got here and I seen everything that they had to offer.
How was it humbling? You mentioned humbling.
Structure. It's structure. You're up. You get up every morning at 6, well, whenever time you want to, but we have to be at breakfast every day at a certain time. And what I meant by structure is like, I understand the vision. You know, it's like they're preparing you to get back out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not, as far as vocational, everybody is going to do vocational training. So instead of laying around all day and then when it's time to get a job, you're not lazy. Like, they're keeping you up and going. So that way, when it's time to get back out there, you know, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yep, absolutely. So congratulations. You got a brand new job last week.
I did. Thank you.
So tell us what you're doing.
I'm doing CNA, personal care assistant, at Wake Assisted Living Memory Care on Kid Road, and they're always looking for people.
So you had a background in that, in healthcare.
I did, for over 10 years.
Wow.
Yes, and I absolutely love what I do.
How's it feel to get back to work?
It feels amazing, and I'm so extra. I went and got powder, lotion, deodorant for the patients that don't have family.
Yeah.
And it makes them, you know, just to make them, let them know that they're loved, you know.
That's
so
awesome.
I love it.
What has, what would you say the Lord's taught you in your time while you've been here?
He's just taught me, he's taught me, structure for one, humility for another, what's that word, that favorite word that we're always working on in every class? Overcoming roadblocks. Mm. Like, he's taught me how to overcome them, recognizing them, and just how to be a better person. I never got a chance to really sit down and deal with me and figure out who I was and what I was doing wrong.
Too busy trying to survive.
Yes, exactly. So now that I have the help and that structure and that support, is definitely easier for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. What's the future look like now for you?
Well, so my plan is I just started working, save up money. I'm in the process right now of getting certified in North Carolina while working, and then continuing education, getting a place, getting a car. Did it cut off?
No, you're good.
I thought it went off. Getting a car and moving out.
Yeah, that's so exciting.
Keeps cutting.
You're fine. Which is exactly what the plan is, isn't it, John?
That's right. Rescue, restore, and reentry.
Ebony is a great example. A person just needs a little assistance, and she's going to get back out there. She's going to do a great job. And she's already demonstrating that here by being on purpose. She's assisting other people that are here, encouraging other people. You heard, before she came here, she was encouraging the person to stay involved.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And focus.
Yeah.
That's her. And that there's so many people like out there that really, at the core, you know, they just need a little assistance to get back on track.
Well, and she mentioned, Ebony mentioned, you mentioned that, you know, you need to be ready. You need to be willing to change, ready to change.
Yes.
Because who doesn't make it at the Rally Rescue Mission?
Well, I will tell you, it's a program that's set up for individuals that are really prepared to work and look inward. First, you got to look inward and say, what is it about me that I need to change? Now, we agree that a lot of things have been done to people.
Sure, absolutely.
But we got to take responsibility for the issues that we are responsible for. So when someone is blaming someone else for their situation, no matter how bad it is, they usually don't do well here.
Yeah.
But people like Ebony and Jason, they take responsibility for the part they have, but they also receive counseling for healing for something that other people did to them.
Yeah.
So it's both. It's like taking responsibility for what I did, but also am I willing to help? And I think that's what she was talking about, the humility.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're just not willing to have other people help us.
That's right.
That's a pride issue. And
that is a pride issue.
So Ebony, Jason, and many others say, I'm willing to receive as well as I'm willing to give.
And then there's a lot of structure here at the Rally Rescue Mission, day to day, week after week.
Yes.
That's super important. I mean, that's
super
life.
Important. Yeah. And it's communal living, so let's don't make it sound like that you're at the resort, right?
Yeah.
Communal living is
hard. You got
hard.
Your penthouse, yeah.
Yeah,
you're here
with
100 plus other people.
Yeah, a lot of different people. You don't know these people.
Yeah.
You've never met them before. So it's difficult. And that's another thing that Evan and Jason have seen, humility to be with others and work through situations.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, tell everybody how we can get involved. If you're here in the Raleigh area, you can get involved directly with the Raleigh Rescue Mission. But odds are, if you're in a decent-sized market, you've probably got a rescue mission there in your backyard. So how can we help? How can we be a part of what God's doing?
So what I'm going to tell you, this is universal for every city in America, basically. There's probably someone in your community that needs some assistance. So at the mission here, find out your local mission or whatever, but obviously financial, but we call it time, talent, and treasures. Get involved from time, your time, and that means going and volunteering, finding out what they need. Talent. There's so many talented people, I can't afford to pay the individuals what they need to be paid in order to do the skills. But they're very skillful people. The employers really get involved there and help our clients as far as getting jobs. Individuals, mentors that can help us with jobs for life, coaches and things like that. And I want to say for the local church, small groups especially, get involved with our clients. She mentioned one lady that comes here. She's been coming here for 20 years.
Wow.
She's teaching a small group.
That's amazing.
And she is committed to these ladies. And so we need more people like that are embracing individuals as if they were their children as opposed to like a project. These are not projects.
Right.
These are our brothers and sisters.
Right, exactly.
We need to come alongside them and encourage them. Just like someone did for us.
That's right.
Just like my personal story.
That's right. Just like your story way back when and countless people in my own life. Ebony, we only have like 2 minutes left or something like that. What would your encouragement be to people that are listening to us here in the Triangle area and other parts of North Carolina and even in other states? What would your encouragement or challenge to them to get involved with the local rescue mission?
I challenge you, if you're having a hard time and you're looking for help, you're looking for support, you're looking for assistance to get on the right track, you know, whether it's drugs or whatever, anything that you're going through and you feel like you're all by yourself, come to the Raleigh Rescue Mission. Mm. And I promise you, everything that you need is here.
And then what about people that might be doing well and they have a job and they have some income in terms of them supporting it financially or coming to volunteer?
Oh,
what would you say to them?
Definitely. Everything. We need not like we need like that, but you know, your donations are greatly appreciated. Definitely, like you're helping families, you're helping children, you're helping moms.
Does it encourage you when you see people coming down here to serve and volunteer?
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
it's a blessing.
That's so cool.
It's definitely a blessing.
John?
Yeah, I was going to say one thing that was critical to me growing up. As a privileged individual, you don't know how powerful it is to look someone in the eye and say, hey, I believe in you, and I believe you can be successful. Many people did that to me, and I'll be quite honest with you, I couldn't say my parents could do that because my parents, by the world standard, were not successful.
Yeah.
So they couldn't say that. Only a person that is successful and privileged has been blessed. And the last thing we want to say is
We know the reason why God blessed us. It's very clear in Scripture, but it's to be a blessing to others.
No, that's right.
So we need to act on that.
Yeah, because for you, Ebony, for Jason, who was on before, for me and John, with all the blessings that we receive, we have to turn around and be a blessing to other people.
That's right.
God didn't die just for one person, although he would have, but he enables us to then turn around and serve. Jesus said it himself. I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Give my life as a ransom for many. Ebony Randolph, thank you for sharing today. It's so great meeting you. So excited for you. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Look forward to seeing what God continues to do in your life. John, any last words?
Well, I want to say thank you to the citizens and people of Raleigh, because this is a generous community. We could do what we're doing without your assistance.
Yeah, so awesome. A lot of great people here in Raleigh. But if you're not in Raleigh, wherever you live, get involved with your local rescue mission. But if you want an easy one, just go check out RaleighRescue.org. Certainly pray, certainly give, and then really come down here and serve sometime. And share with somebody face-to-face. Show how much you love them and how much you love the Lord. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always said, have a